Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, this is a big night in your life so far.
It is?
It is, yeah. You discovered the show The League tonight.
I did. It's awesome.
That's a good show.
It's really, really funny.
I'm surprised it's taking you this long to find it. I enjoy that show. If you play fantasy football, it's really funny. And even if you don't, it's still funny.
Yeah, it's great. It's just one of those things where I'm reluctant to add new shows. I'm sure you watch a lot of TV, and I watch a lot of TV, and it's one of those things. Do I really need like another show I should be watching? So, but I am, and it's awesome.
Yeah, this one's worth it.
Yeah, it's totally worth it.
This one's definitely worth it. If you don't watch The League, you should. Speaking of The League,
yeah,
our fantasy hockey league is full.
Yes.
Not without its ups and downs this week.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Bit of controversy involved.
Some controversy. We sign up the league. We invite returning managers. I have no problem with people asking for the draft to be changed. You know, I mean, that I picked a day, you know, that I thought was close to the season that might work, that we could do the draft, then maybe record afterwards. I mean, that's sort of what we normally do.
Right.
And there are some owners asking for it to be changed. I put it to the league. There was definitely some discussion about whether the draft should be changed or not. I put it to a vote, and it was basically a tie. So, and there were several people who didn't respond. So in that case, we just left it the same.
Yep.
And we opened it up for five spots today, and they were filled very quickly. And so we're on, dude. 20 teams.
We're on.
We're making it happen.
Without making this too long of a discussion, I think someone sent us an email asking about the balance between the different categories and things like that, dude. I know you. I don't know if you used exactly the defaults or what have you, but I know some people were talking about. Who was this? Jonathan was asking. Sorry, I don't have it. But yeah, clearly I prepared for this. But I guess the question is like, which categories are we using and which categories should we be using? And I think someone was saying like, oh, you know, power play points because we have power play goals and it's redundant and blah. The only thing I would say about all of those questions is I definitely want at least 2-to-1 skaters to goalie categories because then goalies just become way too important.
Yeah, you know, dude, here's my take on it, and you tell me what you think. I already feel like we've kind of monkeyed around with it a little bit. I put the league out there. I didn't change anything from last year. And then I tried to change something, and people got upset. So what if I try and change this? I mean, we have 20 people who've signed up for a league that many of them played in last year. And there's one person out of 20 saying they want something to be changed. So to me, I will take those suggestions and maybe apply them to next year, but not this year. I think it's too late. Like, it's too late. We've got the league. We've got the draft. We've got the settings. If I change something, then what if four people are like, I don't want to do that?
Well, then they can buzz off. I mean, if you're going to quit the league because we changed the statistical categories that are going to count, then I don't want to play fantasy with you anyway.
Well, let me try and put it a little more bluntly, dude.
Okay.
I don't want to put that much time and effort into organizing the Dudes on Hockey Fantasy League, dude.
I completely understand.
Because I already this week got a tad irritated by it.
Yeah.
And I think I even declared that this was the last year we were going to do it.
Dude, you said that last year.
I know.
We're going to do it.
Dude, we got stuff. I got stuff I got to do.
What do you
got
to do?
I got to go work, and I've got a baby.
You went to work last year.
Dude, I know, but now everybody wants everything to be changed.
Well, you got to. This is a dictatorship.
I don't.
This is dude, this is not a democracy. No.
Then you change it.
I will change
it. No, you won't.
I will.
No, you don't even know when the draft is. When's the draft?
It's on a Monday.
No. Yes, it is. Oh, my God.
I know.
Okay, so what you're saying is we can change whatever we want.
Yeah, whenever we want.
Sure. Why don't I just drop some people from the league?
You don't change the categories after the draft, obviously.
Sure,
that's
I can.
You can.
I will.
I mean, I still want the spirit of good play, of fair play here.
Fair play, schmair play, dude. That's what I say.
You're letting all this power go to your head all of a sudden.
Well, you said it's a dictatorship.
It is.
Well, then.
Can't you be a benevolent dictator?
I want you to play me the girl from Ipanema on the piano right now.
I might. I know all the chord progressions.
Dude, play it now.
Maybe I will. You're not the dictator of me, though.
Play it right now.
You're not a dictator of my piano.
Play it right now.
Are we done? Oh, also, we should have face-offs because centers are more important. Okay, enough of that discussion. Let's move on.
I don't know, dude. I don't have the email in front of me either.
Forget it. We're not changing it now.
Forget it.
We're not changing it now. I just wanted to have the discussion. I just wanted to have the discussion. I thought it'd be good, interesting things on the podcast. Let's not, you know.
Now you've...
What? I've scuttled half the show.
Now I'm just upset.
Okay, good. Maybe we can talk about the Sharks now.
I'm not upset about the Sharks.
I'm not upset about them either.
Won a very mediocre preseason game. Well, I think the best thing that happened in Vancouver was that we got maybe a little preview as to how wildly mediocre the Canucks might be this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
ooh.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't play a lot of their guys, but I still think that this Tortorella thing is gonna explode
right
in their face, and the Sedins playing for Tortorella in a contract year, he's gonna ask them to kill penalties, block shots.
I know.
Fast are they gonna sign with the Rangers?
Yeah, these guys these guys have a zone star percentage of like 80%. These guys never see the defensive zone ever.
Oh, dude. This is not going to go well. They had like 14 shots, right?
That hurts.
Unfortunately, they scored on two of them, but
yeah,
that's not good at all. It's so different from, and this is a veteran team, a team that has played together for a long time, and now they're being asked to change their stripes completely. It's not going to go well.
It's still early. You can't judge anything by preseason.
I'm just saying, I don't care if they had beaten us 5-0.
Yeah.
I still think this season for Vancouver is going to be balls. It's going to be terrible. And I'm going to enjoy every moment of it, dude.
Me too. Remember, 65% of preseason is about trying to figure out who's going to fill those roster spots.
If Vancouver makes the playoffs, I'll change every fantasy category that everybody wants. I'll change them all.
It'll be hits and diving penalties and...
We'll change it to be a fantasy category for zone starts.
Yeah, zone starts.
Who has the highest Corsi relative?
And Fenwick. All right. Dude, if you're in a salty mood, I have my season tickets right here.
Brent Burns.
I want you to take a look at that and tell me what you see. Take a look at the...
Artwork of Brent Burns on the outside.
Yeah.
I see DB22, Logan Couture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and look at the tickets. Dude, it's radio. You're supposed to say
this
stuff.
Is Sharks territory.
Yeah.
It says on it.
Yeah.
Preseason games, dude. I'm not sure what I'm looking for. Vlasic, Couture, Jumbo. Burnsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else you see?
What else do I see? This is Sharks territory, dude.
Yeah. You notice that DB22 is basically absent from this thing. He's on the inside cover and that's it. He's not on the tickets. He's not on the cover. He's not on the back. Marlow and Jumbo are both everywhere.
Oh.
DB22 is not.
Oh.
Are we reading tea leaves, dude? Is the marketing team completely absent from... Are they not plugged in at all? Or was there some DL communication saying, yeah, let's just not, you know, put them everywhere? Rafi Torres is on the tickets, dude. Dan Boyle is not on the tickets. Is this meaningful? Is this conspiracy theory? Should I take off this tinfoil hat I have on? What does this mean? Tell me, Oswald.
Well, I wouldn't be too worried about it. I mean, Wingles isn't on the tickets.
That makes me feel a lot better.
I don't know, dude. I don't know what to say. Like, I think that's strange. I think that's strange. I don't know what they base that off of.
I know.
You know, I we'd have to go back and do some research to see what in the past.
I do remember one year Patrick Marleau wasn't on either the cover or the tickets or something, and we thought that was going to mean something, but it obviously it
I don't think that Doug Wilson summons the marketing team and gives them insight into his,
yeah,
like, especially with how.
But by the same token, it's hard for me to believe that it's completely independent, and the marketing team's just like, okay, good idea. Stay locked on the cover. And everyone's like, yeah, go with it. You know, I mean, there has to be something in the middle, right? Or...
I guess so, but I don't know. It's been so public lately that Boyle wants an extension, that they're talking, that they're theoretically close. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not worried about it. I refuse to be worried about it. I think if we're, you know, looking into roster moves by some marketing people,
then
we may as well sign off right now. If we're at a base. Are you saying DB22 is going to get traded because he's not on the tickets, dude?
No, I'm just saying that maybe, you know, I'm not saying it's necessarily exactly priority order, but it could be like, this could happen. It's not that we know it's going to happen and it's all but over, but, you know, just in case you were up in the air about it, maybe leave Dan off the ticket. Just saying, you know, that kind of thing. That's all I'm wondering.
Well,
I
find it strange, but I don't smell a rat.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Calm down, dude.
Thanks, dude.
Calm down. The season hasn't even started.
I know. I'm waiting. Down. I'm ready. I'm going to preseason tomorrow night. It's going to be great. Sort of. I'm going to be excited for the first 15 minutes, and then I'm going to realize it's a preseason game.
There's, you know, the Sharks, we've talked about this for the last month, that the Sharks have made a concerted effort to keep this team the same, basically, because they were happy with how they ended the year. They switched out Kennedy for Gagliardi, which is a clear upgrade, and everything else is going to be the same, except for right now it'll probably hurdle for Havlat. So, I don't think they're looking to make a major addition. I mean, we got an email from someone asking about Derek Stepan, dude. I have the email right here. It's okay. From Ryan. Mm-hmm. Hey, dudes, obviously things could change by the time you read this. Assuming that Stepan and the Rangers are still far apart, is there any chance DW would try and get Stepan in Teal? Not sure how things would pan out money-wise, but Stepan is a highly skilled offensive player and could solve issues in the top nine. DW has no problem putting centers at wing, as we all know, and they could even move Pavelski back to the top six and have Stepan center the third line. What do you think? What would it take to get him? Thanks, Ryan. Well, what do you think?
I'm not saying it's exactly Peter Angelo, who we talked about last week, in terms of offer sheet. It's not quite the same ballpark, but it's close enough that it's very unlikely to happen. We're talking $5, $6 million. You know, the rules for compensation have been changed since the new CBA, but it's still several draft picks at that kind of dollar amount. There's very little chance the Rangers would not match. I just don't see it happening. I just, and I can't see the Sharks making it work under the cap, especially with the Marty Havlat situation, right? Marty Havlat, we don't know. He might play, might not. We're not just going to have $5 or $6 million lying around to pay somebody. So Derek Stepan, what do you do? You know, no team has really been in this situation before where, especially because the new CBA is even less flexible. If you have a player making over $1 million, you can't get them off the cap. You send them down to the minor leagues, their cap hit's still there. So the thing that I just don't understand, A, how it would work against a cap, and even if they could make it work, it's very unlikely that the Rangers would let that guy go. I mean, do you think this is more or less likely than Peter Angelo? More, but I would say more, but by only an infinitesimal amount.
It'd be surprising if he wasn't in a Rangers uniform. That'd be surprising. Because if you're going to trade a player like that for a team that now with Alain Vigneault, you got to feel like these guys feel like they just got a new car, right? Mm-hmm. They've got to feel so good. We haven't gotten to our season preview yet, but I'm high on the Rangers. I'm high on them again.
Oh, yeah,
like,
me too.
I think that team is as dangerous as anybody in the Eastern Conference right now, because to get out from under that boulder of Tortorella and kind of have that freedom for Brad Richards, for Nash, for those guys to maybe get some sheltered minutes, some extra offensive zone time. I think offensively, that's been their problem, right? And they're going to get some help in that department. They've got good D. They've got the best goalie in the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, I think Stepan is going to be in, you know, the blue and white by the time the season starts. I just can't see them not figuring out. Now, maybe he won't play at the beginning of the year, but they'll have him signed. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Pietrangelo. I mean, people are like, not going to play.
And
no.
Then he's signed the next day and he's fine.
Yeah. I mean, how many of these guys actually don't, like, they actually just flat out sit out, right? Not many. I mean, we thought that was going to happen with Subban last year and it didn't.
Right.
And what's this kid going to do? Just
rot.
Sit and rot and watch?
No.
No. I mean, and they can't be offering him garbage money.
No.
I'm sure they'll figure it out. So I guess my answer is this isn't a good fit. Like, the Sharks don't have what it would take. I mean, they'd have to basically do like a Pavelski straight up swap, right? I mean, like, that's,
well, I mean, they
money
sign,
wise,
if they sign to an offer sheet, then.
But there's nowhere to put him. Like, yeah, we don't have the money.
I know, exactly.
So if you were going to make a trade,
yeah, it
would have to be something like that.
Yeah.
And they're not going to do
that. I just don't see how that could work.
I just don't think they're looking to make that kind of move right now. They're not looking to change it up.
Yep. I'm with you, dude. Okay, so what's on the agenda for today?
We kind of quickly talked about the Monday game. We got a game tomorrow where it looks like you're going to see a little bit more of the regular team.
Yeah. But, you know, preseason is just, like I said, I think it's mostly about finding who's going to fit into the roster. Obviously, I'll be looking at Anthony Stewart. I'm not expecting a whole lot.
They've already basically demoted him. I mean, they separated the camp into two teams. One team looks suspiciously like the opening night roster, and the other team looks like the Worcester Sharks. Yeah. It's funny, actually. It's not very covert, is it?
No, no.
It's pretty blatant.
Just two random teams. We're going to have Jumbo, Patty, Boyle, Birds, Marlowe.
Wait, not Boyle. Put Boyle on Team B. He's not on the tickets.
Yeah. Couture, we'll put you on A just for the hell of it. Vlasic, we'll put you on A just for the hell of it.
No biggie. Yeah. So, I mean, the notable names on A, I suppose, are that Hurdle's clearly on A.
Mm-hmm. He's certainly a guy I want to watch. I mean, we saw him earlier in the summer against, you know, young guys, against the Sharks prospects in the prospect scrimmage, and we like the way he looked. He looked like a mature player. The question is, you know, he's going to be fighting guys on the Ducks who are looking to make a name for themselves, who are looking to make an impression. You know, how is he going to deal with those kinds of situations? Obviously, he's been playing in a men's league for a while now.
Yeah.
It's not like he's only been playing against kids his age. So he's going to have that maturity to his game. But my question is he going to have the composure and be able to handle the speed of the NHL game? Because that's going to be unprecedented for him, clearly. So that's going to be the big question in my mind. Is this guy going to look like he's a little starstruck, he's a little bit behind, or does he look like, yeah, you know, he can fit in? I mean, he doesn't have to look like a world beater in the first preseason game or the second preseason game, but, you know, you want to see a little bit of where he's at.
So he's playing with Joe?
Yeah, they've been switching it around. He's been playing on the second line, and then he's been playing on the top line with Joe. So that appears to be, he's in top six at the moment. That appears to be good. A slot.
It'd be nice. I mean, if they go Torres, Couture, Marlowe, and they go Hurdle, Burns, Jumbo, I think that makes the team more balanced, because then you've got Kennedy with Pavelski, which I think makes me feel better than having Pavs out there with Wingles and Hurdle, which I think makes Pavelski less effective. I mean, Pavelski and Kennedy and Wingles, I think, is definitely more balanced. I mean, those lines then are more balanced.
I'd rather have Torres. I want to see Torres and Pavelski together with a guy with some offensive upside.
Yeah,
I don't want to see Torres, Pavelski, and Kennedy. I want to see Kennedy on the top line, and I want to see a good player with, like, I want to see, like, Burns, Pavelski, and Torres or something like that. Like, I want to see something like something like that would be awesome.
Oh, dude. Well, it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Probably not.
Burns and Jumbo are, you know,
they're attached to the hip.
Yeah, they're attached to the hip. What else Sharks-wise, dude? I mean, they sent some players back to junior. They've assigned some guys to Worcester. Nothing shocking at all so far. So you're wearing your Bulls shirt, dude. The Bulls season is around the corner. How'd the open tryout go?
I did great, dude. I did so good.
I wish you would have gone.
They're like, you know what we need? We need a 5'10", 165-pound defenseman. That's really what we need. Who's not very good.
He's slight of build, but he's mighty at heart.
Can't really hit. Can't really shoot. And he can't really skate. I like what I'm thinking. I like what I'm hearing.
You're describing most of the Bulls team. Well, we were going to do the Eastern Conference preview, which is the Eastern Conference, let me remind you, is comprised of the Atlantic and the Metropolitan Division, which the Metropolitan Division featuring such metropolitan cities as Carolina and Columbus. So we'll start with the Eastern Conference, dude. And we're just going to go in alphabetical order, starting with the Atlantic Division, dude.
Okay.
Let's start with the Boston Bruins.
Stanley Cup finalists. I still like where they're at. I don't see any reason looking at the, I mean, I guess this is a spoiler alert. I don't see any other teams really in the picture when it comes to leading this division. I don't think any other teams are going to be that close to Boston. I think Boston still got all the tools that they need to win a Stanley Cup. They were close. It's a good series with Chicago. Chicago's a little bit better. But I could easily see Boston again in the Eastern Conference Finals or in the Stanley Cup Finals this year. So Boston has not taken a dive, in my opinion.
They've switched out some pieces. You know, I mean, is Sagan, Peverly, and Horton better than Erickson, Iginla, and whatever other player they're going to play? You know, how's that going to work? I mean, it sounds good. I mean, Louis Erickson, very underrated player, right? I mean, he could be...
Yeah, Louis Erickson's a great player.
He could have an outstanding year. And Iginla is certainly a better fit in Boston than he was in Pittsburgh.
That's true.
So, in the end, they could be better if their young defensive players step up. Now, you know, like guys like was Torrey Krug, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy had an amazing playoffs. Is he really ready to, and Dougie Hamilton, are they really ready to replace a guy like Andrew Ferentz, who is now with Edmonton and just kind of the underrated guy there, played a lot of minutes, blocked a lot of shots. How much are they going to miss that guy?
Yeah, it's a good question. All their major pieces, like all the guys that they need are still there. I think it's funny to think of Jerome Iginla as sort of a secondary piece, but at this point in his career, he kind of is, especially since how ineffective he kind of was with Pittsburgh. I mean, they got Bergeron and Marchand and, you know, and Chara. They got the core of that team is completely unchanged. I don't see any reason to doubt the power of the Boston Bruins this year. Okay, Buffalo, dude. What do you think about Buffalo?
Terrible.
I know.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And that's a ticking time bomb. I mean, they're the Vancouver of the East right now with Ryan Miller and Thomas Vonick just sort of waiting to leave, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, I mean, Ryan Miller is going to get traded. I mean, he's going to end up somewhere. Maybe. Maybe not. I mean, he's making a lot of money, although I think this is the last year of his deal, right?
I think so.
But they're not in a good position. And I got fooled by them last year. I mean, they've got some veteran players on that team that probably could be moved, guys like Steve Ott and stuff like that. They've got a lot of cap room.
Yep.
But you look at their roster, it's not very good. Vonick, Villilano, you know, Cody Hodgson's a pretty good player that they have signed up to a fairly reasonable deal, but he's not a franchise player. They got some okay young guys, but they also got a lot of Kevin Porters and John Scott's kind of hanging around. So
yeah.
I don't like this team. I don't think they're very good. They're going to be at the bottom.
I agree. They're just, I don't see how they can compete against some of these better teams. Dude,
they're lucky Florida's in their division.
Yes, they are.
Because they'll finish ahead of them.
But before we talk about Florida, we have Detroit now in the Atlantic Division.
Right.
Dude, this is the ageless wonder. I know they won their preseason game, as if that means anything. But, you know, and Pavel Datsyuk had 10 points or something. You know, it's just, the guy is just unstoppable. How much longer is it? Is this team reloading, or is this a team that is waiting sort of for the next wave of players to come in? I can't seem to make up my mind, because, you know, they got Steven Weiss, okay, but they got some guys that sort of seem to be on the downslide, like Pertuzzi and Samuelson. I guess Franzen is still pretty good. Cleary, you know, they got Cleary, but he's a little bit older. I'm just not so sure. Like, the young guys like Thomas Tatar is going to come up and be great. Jakob Kindle is going to be great. I'm just not sure about these guys. Like, to me, it seems like they're in a very sort of precarious position. Because if those guys step up, then Detroit is going to be good for quite a while. And if those guys don't, then in 3 years, Detroit's going to be in big trouble.
I'm just not a huge fan of their blue line. I wasn't last year. And boy, they proved me wrong. I mean, yeah, they were very competitive and obviously were a game away from being in the Western Conference Finals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, right? I mean, yeah, they had Chicago on the ropes. That was in the semis. So,
yep.
I think they're better than they were last year. So if that team was a game out of being in the Western Conference Finals, this team this year added Alfredson and Weiss and lost Koliakovo, Filippula, Filippula and Bruner.
Yeah.
They're better.
Right.
And Danny DeKeyser is going to have some more time. I mean, they really like that kid. I think they're in that division. They certainly, they're the second place team to me. I mean, like, I look at them, I go Boston. I would pick Detroit to finish second in that division. I think that there's a lot of teams with a lot of question marks there.
I might make a case for Montreal here, but let's talk about Florida. They're terrible. The fun part is that Tim Thomas is now there on a tryout contract.
So
hilarious.
So stupid. Like, just so stupid.
It's so perfect.
It doesn't make any sense at all, dude. Do we even want to waste time talking about them?
Not particularly.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Let's talk about Montreal. Montreal's a pretty good team. I like the way Montreal's built. I think they got a much better blue line than Detroit right now. Markov, Georges, Subban, Alexei Amelin. Bouillon is serviceable. Murray is serviceable. And they got some young guys like Jared Tenorti, who's Mark Tenorti's son, for those of you who are hockey fans in the 90s. You know, a good blue line. And they got some sort of quiet guys, at least on the west coast of the U.S. They got some quiet guys that you don't hear or see on the headlines of Puck Daddy every day, like Plekanec, although he's pretty much their best player. And now guys like Pacioretty is getting better, and they still got Gionta, and now they picked up Briere. I like this team. I think they might be the number two team in that division.
See, I smell regression here. I think if you're relying on Danny Briere to give you a boost, that's a problem. And I love PK Subban. I think they've got some good players. But I think they're going to be that 7 or 8 team that is fighting for that last spot, that wild card. I think there's some teams that are better in this division, especially Boston and Detroit. I'd definitely put them ahead of them. And I think I might even put the team that we're going to talk about next, the Ottawa Senators, ahead of
really?
Them.
Really? Because that's interesting. I mean, Ottawa was definitely an interesting surprise last year because you sort of expected them not to be that great. And now they got Bobby Ryan. That was sort of their big offseason move, is they traded for Bobby Ryan. And so now their top line, and Alfredson's gone, right? Basically the face of the franchise since the franchise came into being in the early to mid-90s. So now they're looking at a top line, from what I'm hearing, is Spezza, Ryan, and Mahalik, which is a pretty damn good line. That's a pretty
well,
scary...
Well, for the 10 games Mahalik will play. Hey, Mahalik's in the last year of his deal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, finally.
6 years goes fast.
Doesn't it? Yeah, you're right. I mean, you look at some of these guys, they, you know, Colin Greening's a guy a lot of people are taking a look at. Eric Karlsson obviously had that terrible injury last year, but he'll be back. I wonder how effective he'll be.
This team just seems to have gotten better in Paul McLean's first 2 years. Remember, they were so competitive in the first round of the playoffs 2 years ago, and then last year they made it to the second round, and they got whooped by.
I can't remember.
They got whooped. Yeah. In the second round, and then. So by that logic, they will make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I just think that this team has totally bought into Paul McClain, and it's, you know, for the most part, the same group of guys,
mm-hmm.
minus Silverberg and add Bobby Ryan. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's a no-brainer. You like Bobby Ryan over Silverberg, and you lose Alfredson, but he was not like he was like supremely productive, and you add a guy like Clark MacArthur. I mean, in terms of production, it's probably close
mm-hmm.
to the same. So I don't think they're going to miss that much. And Craig Anderson, when he's right, is one of the best.
So good.
So I would put them in the same breath as Montreal. I think that they are going to be competitive in that division.
All right, dude. Next up's Tampa. You know, obviously, they had the pedigree with Stevie Y coming in as a GM, and then they made the playoffs that year after being terrible, and everybody hailed him as the second coming of Toe Blake or whoever, and now, last year, they were pretty bad. So, the question is, do they rebound, or are they just pretty bad?
I think they're pretty bad. How are they better? They got rid of LeCavalier, and they added Filppula?
Yeah.
They're bad. This is not a playoff team. This is not a playoff team. And frankly, I don't understand what Stevie Y is doing. I don't get it. I don't get it. I think that if, I think he could get fired this year. And it's very possible.
Stevie Y?
Yeah. Wow. What's he done right so far, dude? Yeah. What's he done right?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. You know, he signed Lynn back, which was, I mean, it's not for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. He traded for Lindback, but it wasn't for a lot of money. He traded for Ben Bishop. He gave up Conacher to get Ben Bishop. I mean, if one of those two guys doesn't pan out
mm-hmm.
and they both end up being just sort of the backup AHL goalies that
mm-hmm.
they were. I mean, he's got Oland there. Guy can't even play. He's got Sammy Saulo on almost a $4 million deal. Eric Brewer has not been good. Matt Carl and Victor Hedman, those are good players, but that's it.
Yeah.
And then up front, of course, you've got maybe the best player in the NHL or top five, right? In Stamkos.
Top three, easy.
And then not much.
And then you're down to Ryan Malone, Teddy Purcell.
I mean, and this might be the time. I mean, maybe this might be the year that you go, okay, what can I get for Martin St. Louis? What can I get?
Right.
Like, what can I get from from a contender? Will someone give me something crazy
mm-hmm.
for 2 years of St. Louis? It's time to do that because this team stinks, man. Not like I'm upset about it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I just, if I was a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, I'd be so confused. There, I'd feel like the Cleveland Browns who just traded their... I know you don't really follow football.
They traded like their number one running back.
He was the third pick overall last year.
Yeah.
And he's played like 18 NFL games. He's 22, and they traded him.
Yeah,
for a first round pick that'll end up being like a 22nd, 24th pick.
Oh wow!
Next year, stupid.
Yeah,
stupid.
That's like Bob Murray dumb.
Okay. It is,
dude. Toronto looks kind of good on paper. I don't know how. The question is, how different are they going to be from last year? Because actually, I read some articles over the past couple days. There's a guy, Sean McIndoe writes for Grantland, who wrote, he's a big Leafs fan. And I then got, you know, went down a rat hole into some stats posts about how their possession numbers were terrible. Their Corsi numbers were terrible. Basically, they were a pretty lucky team, pretty overrated. The fact that they won a lot of games, it seems like it was more of a fluke than anything because they didn't have the puck in the offensive zone very often and they didn't have possession very often. So, you know, relative, like, you know, far under 50%, which isn't what you would really want from a good team. So the question is, are they going to be able to turn it around with JVR in a lineup? Dave Bolin, they gathered. David Clarkson, they signed. And they got Phil Kessel in a contract year, which can always be good. you know, on paper, this looks like a pretty good team. Paul Ranger's a crazy story, but
why not? I mean,
yeah, why not?
Why not? For $1 million, why not?
He was a good player. Always liked him in Tampa.
Yeah. If he's figured it out, why not?
You know, I think this is a playoff team, but I don't think they're going to be in the top. I mean, I think they're going to be what, in the three or the four spot maybe of the division. And if things don't go their way, they could be on the outside. That's sort of the way I see this team. But they're not going to be bad. They're not going to be embarrassing.
They are making this team in the coach's image, finally. I mean, Randy Carlyle, you look at the Ducks teams that tormented the Sharks, and you look at that third line, that Paulson, Niedermeyer, Moen line, and you're looking at this lineup now, and you go, oh, Boland, Clarkson,
McClement,
Colton Orr. Hmm.
Yeah.
This definitely is looking a little bit more like a Randy Carlyle team with that Lupul, Vams, Riemsdyk, Kessel top line. It smells a lot like the Ducks.
Yeah.
And Phaneuf kind of playing that pronger role.
Yep.
I don't think they're as good as that team, obviously, but they're going in the right direction. This is a playoff team to me. I think that the Leafs are a playoff team.
So you got Boston, Detroit, Ottawa, and Toronto in the playoffs?
I would put them in the top four of that division.
Yeah.
But
so that means Montreal's out.
I'd have them on the outs, but it's close. Okay. I think that there's clearly five good teams and three bad ones.
Yeah.
You know?
I definitely agree with that.
That they could benefit from picking up some easy points against three pretty bad teams, because I don't know if there's a team in the Metropolitan Division that's as bad as the three worst teams in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Let's take a look.
Okay, Carolina.
Yeah,
top.
Carolina is not good.
No.
But I think they're better than Buffalo.
Yeah.
I think they're better than Tampa, and I think they're better than Florida. You know, they have some pieces that are interesting. You know, if they can get it together, they might be able to score. But you look at the depth on their team is pathetic.
Yeah, it's bad.
Up front, it's bad. When you get beyond the Stahl brothers, Skinner and Semin, it's pretty bad. They've got a third and fourth line of guys that I have no idea who they are, other than Aaron Palucha. We know him.
Kevin Westgarth.
Yeah, and their D is not good either. It's not a good situation there. So they're clearly the bottom of that division to me.
Yeah. Okay, so now Columbus, they got Horton signed long-term, and now they got Marian Gaborik, and they got Brandon Dubinsky. They got some respectable players now. Ryan Johansson is a young up-and-comer. The problem is you go past those guys, you don't see anything. Like you said, this is not a team with a lot of depth. Nick Foligno, Mark Letestu, Cam Atkinson, these guys, like, these are the guys you want playing 15, 18 minutes a night. I don't see how they're going to compete against the best in that division when you have those guys playing so much. And they got Jack Johnson on D, who I still think the jury's out on that guy. But their defense definitely looks better. I mean, their defense looks pretty solid, at least to me. They don't have the number one spectacular power play quarterback. But their D is certainly respectable, and they have a great goaltender. I mean, they could be a bubble team.
Yeah. I think the wild card is that with their management, they're open to anything. So they could make some huge changes mid-season.
They could.
We've seen them. They're not afraid, clearly, to hand out a big money deal to someone like Nathan Horton, who doesn't deserve the term or the money that he got based on, you know, maybe based on his resume, his description of him as a player, he would get that. But based on his health and his production, he doesn't deserve to have that kind of contract. But they're a good team that's going to be some good fights in that division between some of these middle of the road teams. One of them's going to rise up, and the others are going to sink. And the other in that category is New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. The sink?
Well, I think they're in the same category as Columbus. I mean, you know, you look at their roster minus Kovalchuk, plus Chloe plus
Yager. Who got hurt. Who got hurt tonight, I think.
Oh, God. I feel bad for him.
I know, me too.
Plus Ryder.
Although I did laugh when I heard it. God.
These are, you know, these are Band-Aid situations here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, and they have, don't they have Damian Brunner in camp too?
Yep. Tryout deal.
So he'll get signed. I mean, they'll sign him. I mean, it's a patchwork situation where they're just trying to make it happen so mm-hmm. they can figure out what they want to do.
And their D doesn't look good.
Yeah, they've gotten worse, but...
But they signed... They got Schneider.
But they got Schneider. I mean, it's... They're going to... This division is sort of like the other one. There's clearly the upper teams, and there's the middle teams, and then there's Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And... No, I think New Jersey and Columbus are kind of in the same situation.
All right, dude. The island. We always forget about the island. Easy to forget about.
I'm not forgetting about them anymore. I mean, I think that their performance last year and how they, you know, kind of stung Pittsburgh a little bit
mm-hmm.
in the first round.
Yeah.
Opened some eyes and you know, adding Cal Clutterbuck, he's exactly the kind of player that they needed, and he's annoying and can be productive in that kind of role.
Yeah, they got some real top end talent now. They got some guys like, you know, Bouchard, who is a good sort of piece.
Yeah, I think they're gonna miss Mark Streit. I think that's gonna hurt. I don't think they necessarily appropriately replaced him with Thomas Hickey, although he was there last year. So
Vishnovsky's was a great quarterback once.
Yeah, but they had them both last year.
Right.
So I think, although Streit was hurt at the end, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he didn't play. But this team, it's same thing. I mean, New Jersey, Columbus, the Isle, like they're kind of the same. I mean, they're good teams, and they're, it's going to be some pretty even matchup battles.
Although in terms of top-end talent, I'd take the Isle at top of those three that you just mentioned.
All right.
Tavares, Bailey, Molson, Grabner. Yes, please.
And that group of guys has been together for a while. You know, and they
exactly.
seem to have kind of figured it out. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. All right, this is it. The New York Rangers, you know, I feel like we sort of talk about it every year that that might be the time for them to take the next step. And I think under Alain Vigneault, they might do it. You know, this team finally will be so relieved to be rid of the ghost of Tortorella that with essentially the same roster, they're going to move forward, I think, dude.
Yeah, this team, if they play anywhere close to how good they look on paper, it's certainly their division to lose, without a doubt. I mean, they got a lot of great players. I'm a big Brian Boyle fan, you know, obviously there's the Chris Kreider thing, but they got some other guys that are pretty good. Daryl Powell's good. Dominic Moore is, you know, he's back. You know, Aaron Asham was actually fairly sought after at one point. I mean, these guys are pretty good, you know, bottom six players. And of course they have the top end talent in Nash and Richards and Callahan. So, and their D is maybe the best defensive core in the NHL.
Not hard to argue with that.
It's pretty damn close.
It's pretty solid. It's pretty deep. I mean, you see McDonough, Stahl, Girardi, Delzato,
Strollman,
Falk, and Moore. I mean, that's pretty deep.
That's pretty awesome.
Very deep. So they're in good shape. Can they put it all together? I think that team's going to surge. I think they're going to surge.
Yeah, without a doubt. They were a big disappointment last year. I think they're gonna rebound with a fresh start, a coach that's interested in using his best offensive players for a lot of offense. I think that will make everybody pretty excited. Dude, I'm looking at Philadelphia.
I'm laughing as we
it's
come up
so
on the Philadelphia
hilarious.
Players.
On paper, this team isn't bad.
No.
They're really
I
not.
I don't think they're bad. I just think that they're put together in a very strange way.
Yeah.
Like you look and you go, there's some good players on this team. And then you go, but there's also not.
Yeah.
Like there's also some strange pieces here. You know, guys who just can't stay healthy, their goaltending.
Yeah. The goaltending is the biggest problem.
Is a big problem. And you just wonder at some point, when's the deal going to happen where it's Jacob Voracek and Steve Mason being traded to Buffalo for Ryan Miller. Like, you can almost smell it a mile away that something like that's going to happen, that that they're going to end up not being satisfied with
Emery and
this
Mason.
Pairing, you know? I mean, Emery's done pretty well in low-pressure situations the last couple
on really
of
good teams.
And this team is good, but they're not great. And the defense in front of him is certainly not as good as it was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So, and then when the guys start to get hurt, what's going to happen? You know,
I could see this team cruising into the playoffs, and I could see this team being only slightly better than the worst team in the division.
Ooh, wow.
I mean, I could see this team going anywhere and everywhere. This is the big unknown for me, because last year I thought they were decent and they were terrible. So I'm not even going to pretend to know where they're at now.
Well, I'll tell you what the big unknown to me is, and that's the team that we're going to talk about right now.
The Pens.
This is, I don't know what to think about this, because they didn't fix what was the biggest problem, which was how bad their defense and goaltending was.
Right.
It was bad, and they did nothing to fix it. They tried, but they weren't able to accomplish anything, and now they're going to basically roll into the season next year.
Did they get Scuderi?
Okay, they added Rob Scuderi. You're right. I'm used to seeing his name on that roster.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Yeah. Okay, yes, that helps.
Yeah,
that does help. That does help. Does that fix everything? I don't know, but that definitely does help. I had forgotten about that.
And they have Matt D'Agostini.
I mean, they're going no Matt Cook. They're going no Aginla, no Moore, no Murray. And they add Rob Scuderi. Thank you.
Gesundheit, dude.
Thanks, dude.
It's playoff team, for sure.
Oh, for sure, dude. There's no doubt that it's a playoff team.
The goaltending, to me, is going to be the big thing, because, you know, there was so much confidence, even after Fleury was so bad, that Fleury was going to be the guy. And I like Thomas Vokoun, but he wasn't that good in the playoffs either. So I thought he might be the white knight and take over for Fleury, a guy who hasn't had very good, you know, sort of more advanced statistical categories the last couple of years. Looks pretty overrated. But
what's the patience going to be here with this team? I think it's going to be very limited.
Yeah.
That if they come out slow, and we're going to find out, you know, everyone says that they're behind Dan Bylsma. If they kind of limp out of the gate, Bylsma's toast, right?
I agree. Dude, Washington, where are they going to be at?
It's tough. I mean, did they show you enough last year to make you feel like they have continued to take strides in the right direction?
No. I don't believe in this team right now. I've fallen for this before. And I picked them number one in our fantasy and all this crap, the stupid things that I've done. I'm on the other end. I just don't believe in this team right now. I just don't think that they can take it to the next level. I mean, maybe if Mike Green has another monster year.
Well, but that's like 3 years removed.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at their defense, they don't look great. I mean, they have perfectly serviceable, sort of quietly serviceable goaltending, but I'm just not sure. I mean, after Ovechkin and Backstrom, you have Like, Erat, Troy Brower. They got Grabowski for a song, which is nice, but I just don't think it's enough. They don't have enough guns up front. I mean, Ovechkin can't seem to win, you know, 20 or 25 games a year by himself anymore. He doesn't seem to be at that level right now. He can't just take over.
Right.
So you have to look at that secondary scoring. They got some decent third line guys, but they have no secondary scoring that I think is much to speak of. So I think this team might miss the playoffs.
It's going to be close. I'd put them in that same category as Columbus, New Jersey. You know, I might put them a notch below the Flyers, the Islanders. I think between Columbus, New Jersey, the Islanders, and the Capitals, one of those teams will make the playoffs. One.
Wow.
And
because Pittsburgh's in and the Rangers are definitely in.
Yeah, if I'm picking eight teams, I'm going to go Boston, Detroit, Ottawa, Toronto, Rangers, Pittsburgh, Philly.
And?
The Islanders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to ignore the Islanders this year. I think you're right. I think I might put the Islanders in my top eight as well.
There's not, I mean, you look at the other situations, New Jersey, they're going to have a, they're going to be in a microscope because of the COVID thing. Washington, there's always a ton of pressure there. Columbus might still be kind of a team in transition. They're relying a lot on two guys who are often injured in Gabrick and Horton.
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders just going to be doing their thing.
That's right.
Right? Just doing their thing. There's no pressure. No one's even going to the games.
Right.
Does anyone even know where they play?
They playing in Brooklyn yet?
Not yet.
Not yet.
So no pressure on that team. None. Yeah. Not right now. So they could very easily slip in as that wild card team, as a wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
They could leapfrog Philly, too. That would not shock me.
It wouldn't shock me at all. If I had to guess right now, because Philly was so bad last year and they just couldn't seem to put it together, I might put Philly out right now. I put Pittsburgh and the Rangers definitely in, but then it gets to be sort of a mess. I'd put the Islanders in. I might put the Islanders in at number three in that division. And, you know, that might be it. I might take five teams from the Atlantic and only three from the Metropolitan. And those might be my three.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah. I mean, there's out of 16 teams, there's three bad ones, like bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one slightly bad team in Carolina. And the rest, the 12.
Tampa Bay's pretty bad.
No, I put Tampa Bay, Florida, Buffalo, and Carolina are bad.
Yeah.
And then the rest, they're pretty decent.
Right.
You know what I mean? You could make a case for any of them to be playoffs teams. So it should be some good hockey, dude. Some good hockey.
Oh, dude, it makes me feel so good to be talking about hockey like it's going to start soon. Like it we're going to see some real games
it
soon.
It is. Well, I'm excited to hear your report from the preseason game tomorrow, dude.
Yep.
Don't let the boil tickets thing get to you.
Okay, I won't. I won't. I'm over it now.
Let's go get some frozen custard.
Go Sharks against half the Sharks against half the Ducks.
Yes.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.